Good morning. It's now 9 o'clock, and we got a special guest with us this morning, Brian Trammell, Senior Executive Director of Public Affairs at the Associated General Contractors. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Norman. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
Oh, we're glad to have you. In terms of the jobs report that was released, how is North Carolina doing with construction jobs?
You know, you're doing okay. I think it's probably the best way to put it. During the last year, between October 2015 and October 2016, the state added 6,900 new construction jobs, and you saw some decent growth in a couple of the metro areas. Charlotte accounted for the bulk of those jobs. They added 4,300 new construction jobs. But a couple areas, places like Asheville, Burlington, Raleigh, and Rocky Mount, they all lost construction jobs during the past year. And one of the reasons for that, Norman, is that the total amount of money that we as a country are investing in our older roads, older bridges, has actually fallen by about 2% from 2015 to 2016, even as our road systems get older and the maintenance needs get higher.
In terms of the new analysis, construction jobs in America, was this a good or bad report for those who want to see full construction employment?
Norman, it's a little bit of both. About a third of the metro areas around the country lost construction jobs or were stagnant in their employment level. The other two-thirds added jobs. So it's really a question, frankly, of where in America do you live? Do you live in a coastal city that's seeing, you know, a big boom in multifamily apartment construction and office construction for tech firms? Or do you live in a smaller town in a state that, you know, maybe was heavily dependent on energy production, places in Nebraska, West Virginia, Wyoming, parts of Texas that are bleeding construction jobs? And one of the other things that we found as we look at construction employment by metro area in the country is that you could live in a metro area that one month is adding construction jobs and the next month is losing construction jobs. And that's because we've had this really, I'm sure I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, a really inconsistent and frankly kind of weak economic recovery. And, you know, whatever increases in private sector demand we see in a certain market sometimes are getting offset because, hey, state and county governments are still, you know, money's tight and they're having a hard time finding funds to fix roads or build new schools or fix the water system.
How do you see the potential Trump plan for infrastructure spending? Will that change things?
You know, we're optimistic that, the president-elect will give a nice boost to the construction industry, absolutely, in the sense that he's been talking about investing over $1 trillion in rebuilding our aging infrastructure and rebuilding our aging cities and downtowns. And obviously we need to see the details of what the new administration puts together. But Norman, I think one of the important things about what President-elect Trump is saying that is different than, frankly, his opponent was talking about is he doesn't see this as a jobs program for the construction industry. He gets, probably because he's a businessman, that what really the benefit of investing in infrastructure is that it helps the entire economy. If you're a repair guy, if you work on a construction crew, if you haul a truck for a living, the less traffic there is, the less detours there are because the bridge isn't strong enough to hold the weight of your commercial vehicle, the better our economy does, and then the more money you've got to invest in new equipment or to hire new people as opposed to spend it because you've got to have 5 delivery trucks because traffic's so bad where you live that what you could do with 3 trucks, you got to do with 5 because your guys are spending too much time in traffic. And President-elect Trump understands that investing in our infrastructure will make our businesses, will make our workers more competitive in what is a very global economy.
What kind of jobs are produced by infrastructure spending in general? Are these good jobs?
Oh, absolutely. You know, so take construction. I mean, yes, obviously, you do create construction jobs when you invest in infrastructure. These jobs, Norman, pay 10% more on average than the sort of the average non-farm job in the United States. So they're good. They're high-paying jobs. Most construction jobs don't require people to amass a bunch of college debt before they start working in construction. So that means you can start buying your toys a lot earlier in your career than if you had gone through college. And then they also create any number of other jobs, everything from jobs at the aggregate facility, you know, the quarry where you're mining the rock that you need for the asphalt and concrete, to the jobs at the high-paying manufacturing facility where they're building Caterpillar or John Deere or other types of construction equipment. Or even if you think about, you know, you got more construction workers working in your town, all of a sudden they've got money in their pocket, they're going to take the family to Applebee's on Friday night, and they're going to go and they're going to buy the kids some nicer clothes to bring to school, and they're probably going to take their 15-year-old F-150 and trade it in for something nicer. So all these other jobs benefit. But then the other jobs, Norman, that do well from infrastructure are, again, those delivery guys, you know, anyone who's got to, you know, travel from point A to point B for work, they all benefit as their commutes get shorter and the roads get safer.
My understanding is there's a great need throughout the U.S. to fix roads, bridges, and highways. In general, what is the condition of our infrastructure? Have we been spending enough to keep the system in good shape?
That's a great question, Norman. And the American Society of Civil Engineers every 3 years they do a comprehensive report card on the state of our infrastructure. Their most recent report card gave our infrastructure a D+. You know, think of it as a school grade, right? And you didn't want to come home and tell your parents you had a D+, and that's what we've got on infrastructure. And the reason for that is that we built in the middle of the last century this incredible series of infrastructure, the highway systems, some transit systems, water systems, power systems, and they were wonderful and they were world class and they were designed to last 40 and 50 years, and they're 60 and 70 years old now. And they're falling apart in many parts of the country. In a lot of places, you've got what they call posted bridges, which means the bridge is so deteriorated that it can't handle heavy trucks anymore, and you've got to run a detour. And, you know, we're in the winter season. A lot of states will begin to experience the joy that is lots of potholes as we go through this freeze-thaw cycle with these older roads. And then, of course, the other way that you see the bad condition of our roads is if you ever spend time in traffic. Traffic is a sign that our system isn't working. And, you know, we've come to accept traffic as, oh, it's just a fact of life. Like, I'm going to be stuck in traffic. But if we had a more effective system that did a better job anticipating these kinds of loads and had a few more lanes, we'd be in better shape and wouldn't spend all our time in traffic, but could actually spend more time at work or, Lord forbid, spend more time with our families.
We're seeing conflicting ideas for how infrastructure spending should be funded by the government. What's your opinion?
Well, we're a construction association, and we tend to think that any kind of funding for new infrastructure is good, to be frank, Norman. But to be more serious, you know, there has been a lot of talk about financing infrastructure, and it sounds like a good deal at first. Hey, we're not going to have to raise any, you know, user fees to pay for this, and we'll get private companies to pay for your infrastructure. But it sounds like, as you're experiencing in I-77, some of those deals don't always work out for the folks in those local communities. Maybe you get a new lane, but now you got to pay a toll, and maybe the jobs that are being created by those new toll lanes aren't going to folks in your local community. So we really think that we got to take a close look at user fees, you know, the what you pay to use the road system. And frankly, you know, we're getting what we pay for right now, which is a lot of traffic and bad roads. And, you know, we have to find a way to, you know, respect the fact that it's hard to stretch a dollar these days, but can we find a way that we can fund as opposed to finance more of our road construction, whether that's through bonding, whether that's through looking at what oil companies pay to, you know, bring in oil, whether it's, you know, do we move to a vehicle miles travel tax? We got to have that question. We got to be honest with the American people and say, look, we're not going to get a free lunch every time, and we got to understand that a lot of these financing deals may not be as good as they originally sound.
Now, in this area, they're building toll roads in I-77 and using, letting a company from Spain run the toll roads, and they're using their workers. Is this a problem throughout the United States?
You know, I haven't heard about foreign firms using their workers on the infrastructure projects. And a lot of states have been able to negotiate deals with the toll road operators. And the reason most of them are foreign companies is because in most of the rest of the world, if you build a highway, you build it tolled and you build it with a private operator. So there's businesses that have this experience, and most of them aren't based in the United States because we just haven't done it, you know, traditionally. That's not the way we build highways in this country. So you end up with a lot of Spanish and some Italian and Australian operators, these toll roads. But, you know, a lot of states have been able to negotiate with these transactions in a way that require them to use U.S. workers and to use local workers where appropriate. You know, it's hard to find local workers if you're building a stretch of highway in the middle of nowhere, but if you're in an urban area, it's pretty easier. It's a lot easier to find local workers, right? But what you need to do on those is, and there's a place for these finance, these public-private partnerships, but you got to make sure that you are protecting the interests not just of the company, but of your commuters and of the communities that are served by those highways.
Now, if somebody wants to find out more information about this and your report, where's the best place to go?
They should go to our website. It's www.agc for Associated General Contractors. So www.agc.org. Go right on the homepage. You'll see a link to the information about construction jobs. Just click on it, and you'll get hopefully more information than you need, and you'll find out how to call us and ask any further questions if you need more answers.
Well, thank you, Brian, for being our guest this morning, and we hope you'll come back and be a guest again soon.
Me too. Thanks, Norman, for having me. I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
You too. That was Brian Trammell, of the Senior Executive Director of Public Affairs at the Associated General Contractors.